Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, Text 31. Na kankurot patita rid saroruham visrija tasya nucharan udayudan ahan samastan naka shastra panibir Dordandaya yuto nupatan sahasrashaha. Naka ankura. By the pointed nails. Utpatita. Torn out. Rit saroruhan. Whose heart, which was like a lotus flower, visrija, leaving aside, tasya, of him, anucharan, the followers, soldiers and bodyguards, udanyudan, having raised weapons, ahan, he killed samastan, all, naka shastra panibi, with his nails and other weapons in his hands. Dordanda yuta, having unlimited arms. Anupantan, the attendants of Hiranyakashipu. Sahasrashaha, by thousands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw him aside and turned towards the demon soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him, with raised weapons, were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisingadeva killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. Purport. Since the creation of the material world, there have been two kinds of men, the Devas and the Asuras. The Devas are always faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the Asuras are always atheists who defy the supremacy of the Lord. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the atheists are extremely numerous. They are trying to prove that there is no God and that everything takes place due to combinations and permutations of material elements. Thus, the material world is becoming more and more godless, and consequently, everything is in a disturbed condition. If this condition continues, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly take action, as he did in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Within a second, Hiranyakashipu and his followers were destroyed, and simply if this godless civilization continues, it will be destroyed in a second, simply by the movement of one finger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons should therefore be careful and curtail their godless civilization. They should take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement and become faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are doomed. As Hiranyakashipu was killed in a second, the godless civilization would be destroyed at any moment. As we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dvavimo purusho loke, shara chakshara evacha, shara sarvani bhutani kutastashar uchite. That was one of the verses we just read. Then in this world, there are two kinds of created beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the spiritual world, everyone here in the material world, everyone is fallible, and in the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. Then, the next chapter, in the 16th chapter, Krishna will say, "Dvo purusha lokesmin, dvavimo purusha loke." These are always confusing verses; because they're so similar. One is "Dvavimo purusha loke." Let's see which one that one is. That's in the 15th chapter, and then we get into the Shara chapter, and then we get into the 16th chapter. Very similar verse. Dvo bhuta sargo lokesmin sarva daiva asram evacha dvo purusho lokesmin daiva asram evacha daiva vishtara saprokta asram parthameshu nu. I've explained to you about the, in this world, there are two kinds of beings, dvoimo purusho loke, daivam asram evacha, the divine and the demoniac, the asuras and the asuras. Daiva vishtara saprokta, I've explained to you about the divine. Krishna has already explained about all the good qualities of the divine, beginning with fearlessness, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, etc. Now he's going to explain to us about the demons. Now, there are two conceptions here. Some people are called fallible, and some people are called infallible. Some people are called demons, and some people are called divine. So what's the difference? Well, is there any difference? Yes. The infallible are in the spiritual world, or are completely pure in Krishna consciousness. And the fallible are in the material world. To different degrees, or to no degree, they may be following Krishna. Now, the asuras, they don't follow Krishna at all. That's the last thing they want to do, is follow Krishna. And the suras, at least they should be following Krishna to some degree. So the suras are trying to become infallible, hopefully. And the asuras want to stay infallible. They have no desire at all to become infallible. They want to stay fallible. But they don't believe that they're infallible. Or they're fallible. They don't believe they're infallible. They don't believe that they're fallible. They think they're infallible. But actually they're fallible, thinking themselves to be infallible. Well, the devotees, those are always thinking themselves to be fallible, although the pure devotee is infallible. That's the difference. The demons, they think they're infallible, when they're actually completely fallible. And the pure devotees, they think they're fallible when they're actually infallible, because they're always taking shelter of Krishna, who is the supreme infallible. So therefore Krishna says, there are two types of created beings in this world, the fallible and the infallible. Dvo lokosmin eva, daiva, let's see. Dvo imo purusho loke, that's the 16th chapter. Dvo bhuta sara loke smin, shara akshara evacha, sara sarvani bhutani, kutasta shara uchite. And then he says, utma purushas twanya, that in this world, every living being is called fallible, and in the spiritual world, everyone is fallible. But beyond these two, fallible and infallibles, this is supreme Lord. So in other words, no matter how infallible we may become, we're always, compared to Krishna, infallible. Krishna's the source of infallibility. And as long as we take shelter of Krishna, then we're infallible. But he's beyond both the fallible and infallible. And he's celebrated in this world, and his Vedas is that supreme person. So that's the difference between the fallible and the infallible. The infallible always take shelter of Krishna, feeling themselves dependent on Krishna. And the fallible never take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, they're always doing the wrong thing. According to Krishna's estimation, they may give each other prizes, etc. Give themselves award, as Prabhupada said, for things that are completely false. They award each other, Nobel Prize. They give the Nobel Prize to someone who started five wars. He gets the president of the United States, even before he did anything, he received the Nobel Peace Prize, and then after that he started a number of wars all around the world. But he got the award. You can go to his house and see the Nobel Peace Prize. But that's called, the asuras may give each other labels, doctorate, PhD, MD, whatever, although they're in ignorance and they have no idea what the goal of life is or how to achieve it, or even what the actual science, even how the material world works. Because they never take shelter of the intelligence coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the first thing is that one should know what the rule book is. If one doesn't know what the rule book is, then what everyone is doing on the playing field, you're going to get penalized for. If you don't know the rule book in playing soccer, and you pick up the ball with your hands, and you throw it into the net, you may think you've scored, but you're wrong. You're going to be penalized. You don't get any score. So if you have the wrong playbook, the rule book, and you play by the rule, the wrong rule book, then whatever you're doing is going to be a disaster. Although you may think you're winning and scoring, but at the end of the day, you lose. The first business is to find out what the rule book is, what the rule book of the material world is, how things work here. If you don't know what the rule book is, then you're just defeated. Paravas tavata bodha jata yavanda jignasita atmatadvam. This is Maharaj Shabdev said, because they're in ignorance, they don't know what the rules are, therefore they're being defeated by illusion. And they never inquire what the actual purpose is, jignasya, atmatadvam, about discovering atma, the soul. Therefore, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna keeps on criticizing the asuras, and he criticizes anyone who doesn't know what the rule book is. It's not that he particularly doesn't like asuras. He just doesn't accept that anyone is actually qualified or doing anything of any value for themselves or anyone else, anything beneficial, if they don't know what the rules are. And just because they're arrogant, and just because they don't want to follow the rules, or they may not even know what the rules are, but if they did know what they are, what they were, they don't want to follow them, it's not that the rules are going to change. It's not that God thinks he's giving an election every year to figure out which rules this year the material nature will apply. It's not the way things work. There's no democracy in the universe like that. That there's a vote on how the laws of karma are going to work this year. They work in a certain way. It's up to the intelligent people to find out how they work and to follow them if one wants to actually do something good for themselves or anyone else. No matter how much we advertise how much good we're doing, if we know what the rules are, then we're simply being defeated by illusion. So the demons, headed by Hiranyakashipu, they think that there's only two purposes of life. They think Haranya, to get gold, and Kashipu, to enjoy a soft bed or sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's their rule book. And if they are able to accomplish those two things, then they consider their lives to be progressive and successful. They don't know that that's not the rule book. The rule book is Dharma. And the purpose of the game is liberation. And since they play by their own rules of economic development for sense gratification, without Dharma or the progress towards liberation, they never become liberated. And Krishna says, Yakshastra vidum istrija vartate kamakarata nisasadim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. Those who give up the Shastra, they work according to kamakarata. Prabhupada translates that as whim. People don't. Whim. Whim. Whimsical? You can look at, yeah, whim. Whim is the noun for whimsical. Whimsical is the adverb. So they act according to their whim. So what is that whim? People think it's what do they usually consider it? They consider it creativity. That's the catchword for whim. I'm not acting whimsically, I'm being creative. I'm displaying my creativity, my inspiration. But actually, what does Krishna say it comes down to? Something which is not so poetic, Krishna is not very, in one sense, very, it doesn't appeal to the poetic feelings of the materialist. He says, Trividam narakasidam, dwaram nashitam atmanaha, kama krodha tata lobas, etam trayam itam chajyat. There are three gates leading to hell. Because nowadays people are actually, there are many, many Satanists in the world nowadays. I've even seen it on billboards, they make the sign of the devil with their fingers to indicate that they're actually Satanists. Some people don't mind going to hell. They have no idea what it's like because they're already in hell. Their consciousness is already hellish. And therefore, they have no fear of going to hell because they're already in hell. But Krishna is warning you against going to hell. And what are the gates leading to it? Lust, anger, and greed. The very things that are being cultivated systematically in modern society. Every billboard, every educational institution, every TV and radio show, every movie is simply meant to cultivate and appeal to people's lust, anger, and greed. Maybe 70 or 100 years ago in India, they used to have devotional movies, which were always kind of had their own slant in them. But anyhow, Sita Ram or Mahaprabhu Nichal or something, they were devotional. There was some aspect of morality at least, if not devotion. Nowadays, in every Indian movie, they have to have a dagger with blood on it and a few guns, or else no one's interested. So they've given up religion and they've accepted lust, anger, and greed as their guide. The result is there's no question of happiness, sukham. There's no question of yaksha srividim utsrija vartate kamakarata nasasudim avapnoti nasukham napuram gitim. That one who gives up the shastra and acts whimsically can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. But people don't care about the supreme destination. They don't believe in it. For them, it's a fairy tale. People with four arms, oh, freak show going on. Happiness, they think happiness is to gratify their senses into the end of life. That's the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore, there's no measurement for their anxiety. They think anxiety is an impetus for further advancement. They think greed is wonderful. That way I can prove I'm better than everyone. Previously I only had $20 billion, now I have $100 million, so I'm improving. And I can exploit those with only $20 billion now. So this is the demoniac, feverish mentality that's going on, and people think that this is Swavit Rahostra Karar Samstuta Purusha Pashu. Many people think that these are the heroes in modern society. These are the people we're supposed to follow, Mahajana. They're the Mahajans. And anyone who questions them, they're demons. They should be chastised. They should be re-educated. So that's the fight always between the divine and the demoniac. The divine, they take Krishna as the personality who's all good, the good well-wisher of everyone, who's made the material world for the benefit of everyone, give them an opportunity and a choice to work for their benefit or to work for their detriment. And therefore Krishna is coming, asking people to work for their benefit, sending his representatives, sending the rule book, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the rules by which the material world works, and there's always going to be people who deny it, because that's why they came here. I don't believe in the rule book, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the laws of nature, I can do whatever they want. And therefore, Krishna, as he says, he casts them into the demoniac species of life. So if you look around, you can see many people didn't agree with Krishna. So many trees are there. Go to the park here, you see so many trees standing naked in the winter. They didn't agree. that they should cover their bodies previously. They wanted to be free to do whatever they wanted. And now there are trees. There are so many living entities and 8,400,000 species of life. They didn't agree with Krishna. They had the human form of life, an opportunity to agree with Krishna, and they didn't agree with him, and now they're in another species of life where they have to agree with him. They have no choice. They don't directly agree with Krishna because they don't know anything about Krishna. They're forced to follow the material nature so they can do less harm for themselves and others and gradually make some progress upward rather than down. So Hiranyakashipu, he got chopped up by Lord Nrisimhadeva. And his followers, obviously they didn't learn, they didn't see a good example. Hiranyakashipu was ruling the whole, he's so powerful. He got all these benedictions from Lord Brahma, he couldn't die. And he was ripped apart by Lord Nrisimhadeva. His followers, which were insignificant in comparison, didn't learn anything, even by directly observing. And maybe some of them learned something when got ripped apart by Lord Nrisimhadeva. We don't know. It's not mentioned. It's like one small, tiny horse is about to cross the river, but he hesitates. And all these big, powerful horses try to make it across, and they all get swept away by the river. And the little horse says, well, now's my turn. The big, powerful horses got swept away. He's scrawny. He can't practically, you know, jump into the river. He's so insignificant, but he's going to try anyhow. So big Hiranyakashipu gets ripped apart by Lord Nrisimhadeva, and they're all thinking, you know, let's go and attack him, maybe we'll win. So this is called madness, but that's the material world. We can expect everyone in the material world is praravastavadabodajata, is mad. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. That's what it says. Everyone in the material world is crazy. Being driven by lust, anger, and greed. They're trying to enjoy their material body, which is full of misery. And they're taking one birth after another, and they don't care. But those who have some intelligence, they can learn from the Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, and try to play by the rule book. Find out what the rule book is, play by it, and make some progress towards self-realization, liberation from the bodily concept of life. If one doesn't know that the purpose of life is to obtain liberation, get free from the bodily concept of life, then one's life is simply defeated by ignorance. So we should try not to be defeated. We should find out what the purpose of life is, what the rules are we're supposed to play for by in order to achieve that, and then make progress towards Krishna consciousness, so supreme liberation. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? People nowadays, they don't like to hear these things. It's too absolute. Isn't there, you know, don't I have my free will? Couldn't I become God if I really tried hard? Don't I have a little independence to do whatever I want sometimes? Isn't the material nature, isn't there time out for the material nature? Please, give me 5 minutes time out. I need a break. I don't want to follow the rules so strictly. But I want to get away with it. I want to overeat, but I don't want to get sick. It's not fair. Anything? Okay, thank you very much. Grandura Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.